This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to www.ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, I'm here with Professor Richard Selly. He's the author of The Winelands of Britain, Past, Present and Prospective. And this week we're going to be talking to him about global warming. He's also the Senior Research Fellow at the Department of Earth Sciences at Imperial College. How are you, Richard?
I'm very well, thank you.
Global warming. Everybody says the temperature's taking off, but just to get a big perspective, as a geologist, you look at timescales of hundreds of millions of years.
Well, that's right. A million years is as nothing to a geologist, which is why you should never lend us money. And basically, if you look at the history of the planet, it's alternated between ice ages, when much of the planet's been under ice, and intervening warm periods. And these have lasted sometimes for 100 million years or more. Now, the planet has been cooling down from a high at the end of the Cretaceous.
Which was how long ago was that?
About 60 million years ago.
Okay.
It's been cooling down ever since, more or less, with some wobbles. And we entered the present ice age about 2 million years ago.
So we're actually in an ice age at the moment.
That's right. We're right in an ice age. Normally, this country enjoys a tropical, subtropical climate. But within the ice age, we have warm and cold spells. Interglacials and glacials, and we are now in an interglacial spell within the present ice age.
When you say glacial, you mean the glaciers are coming down from the north?
That's right. Normally, during the glacial maxima in this country, the glaciers cover Scotland and Wales with something like 2 miles of ice, and the ice sheet gets down as far as Imperial College in the Thames Valley.
When you say is that 2 miles thick?
Yes.
Gosh, that is thick.
It is indeed. Down here where we are at Denbighs in the southeast of England, this would all have been periglacial tundra with frozen ground, permafrost, with hairy mammoths trundling around and hungry hairy hominids chasing them and trying to catch them and eat them.
Okay, so what's driving the change, you know, if it's quite a periodic...
The overall change of ice ages on a big scale of millions of years, the jury is still out on that. But the smaller scale changes are pretty well understood, and they're due to astronomical variations known to the learned as Milankovitch cycles.
Just a minute, that's the interglacial and glacial
changes.
That's
right. So the small scale changes over 10,000, 100,000 years.
Okay.
These are due to astronomical variables, like the orbit of the Earth around the Sun varies with a regular periodicity. The Earth is spinning like a top. And if you remember when you were children looking at a top spinning, the axis of that top would itself gradually rotate around with
wobble.
A periodicity. So we've got cycles on cycles superimposed one on the other, which gives us these smaller scale variations of climate.
So based on what we know of these cycles, are we getting warmer or cooler?
Well, theoretically, according to Milankovitch cycles, we should now be cooling off and going down into another ice age.
But we're actually getting warmer.
We're actually getting warmer, and what is scary is that we are getting warmer very dramatically, much faster than we would normally expect.
So it is getting warmer. In the last couple of thousand years, there's been vineyards growing in England. Was the vine introduced by the Romans? That's when the first records of cultivation occur.
Interesting question. Vines have been native in this country for most of the last 50 million years. It's only during the present ice age of the last 2 million that they get frozen out. We have evidence of Neolithic cultivation of vines in this country, but we don't know whether that was just for eating as dessert grapes or winemaking. We know that the Celts, before the Romans arrived, the Celts really enjoyed their wine a great deal. A lot of the early Roman writers talked about Celtic binge drinking. Nothing changes. The Celts would drink their wine until they couldn't stand up for 2 or 3 days solid. And wine was a very high status drink for the chiefs, and they'd share it out with their friends. And they would drink it never watered down like the Mediterraneans. But there's no evidence of pre-Roman viticulture. The Romans came in, and we have good evidence of viticulture in Roman Britain on an agribusiness scale. in Northamptonshire.
Then you mean industrial?
Industrial. This wasn't just a retired centurion having a few vines on the south-facing wall of his villa. This was big industrial cultivation for the legionnaires on Hadrian's Wall and places like
that. And what was the climate doing 2,000 years ago?
Climate is generally reckoned, we've got no absolute data, but it's generally reckoned it was warmer in Roman times, slightly warmer than it is now. And then, of course, Roman rule collapsed, and we come to what's variously called the Saxon sag or the Dark Age drop.
Well, just before we get onto that, how far north did the vineyards go?
The most northern genuinely known vineyard, it goes up as far as North Thoresby near Lincolnshire, up in Lincolnshire, near the town of Lincoln.
Okay.
And then temperature began to drop in what's called the Saxon sag or the Dark Age drop. Perhaps the collapse of Roman rule was related to that changing climate. Vineyards, of course, died out. The Saxons were largely mead and beer drinkers. And then the Normans arrive.
What happened to the vineyards? Did they stay where they were? Did any of them survive?
No, there's no evidence of any surviving. You do get one or two late Saxon vineyards,
okay,
new ones being established. Then with the Norman conquest, there was a big re-establishment of vineyards. Very detailed database, of course, in the Domesday Book.
And what was the climate doing at that point?
Climate was then warming up again.
Okay.
So it was coming much better for vines. And the Normans, and in medieval times, we had vineyards all over southern England. And in fact, the historical records note that sometimes a peace treaty after a war with France would have a clause in it specifying, and English wine shall not be imported into France.
Why was that?
It was too much competition and the French didn't like it. This was before the European Union, you understand.
Okay, so what's the climates for the Normans? Was warm or colder than now?
As far as we can tell, about the same as it is now. Then temperature began to drop again into what's often referred to as the Little Ice Age. And in that period, all the vineyards, there were only a few, only about a dozen, maybe 15, are all in the southeast of England, mainly in the home counties.
So all the vineyards from up around Leeds or...
They all died out.
All died.
I mean, partly there are political reasons for this. For instance, when Henry VIII took over all the monasteries, every monastery had its own vineyard.
Yeah.
They needed wine, of course, for Holy Communion and things like that. With the dissolution of the monasteries, viticulture would have collapsed related to that,
mm-hmm,
as well as the temperature drop.
Okay, so you're getting politics and temperature.
Yeah.
And the vineyards that survived, where were they?
Down in the southeast, in the home counties. Around here in Surrey, we had several at places like Deep Dean, Painshill Park, down in the Isle of Wight.
Oh, okay.
But none up in the Midlands, as there used to be.
And the Little Ice Age, that's when the Thames used to freeze over, wasn't it?
That's right. You have to be very careful. These are what they call proxy paleothermometers. The freezing of the Thames has as much to do with Old London Bridge as temperature. Old London Bridge, if you remember from pictures, had a whole series of islands of piers all the way across it, which would dam up the river water.
Ah.
And that has a lot of control over the extent of freezing of the Thames.
Was that because the salt water couldn't get up there?
That's right. And there wouldn't be the currents to break up all the ice.
Ah, okay.
Once you damp down the currents in the river, the ice can form and can be maintained. No, our evidence, we rely on people like Parson Woodford of Norfolk and Gilbert of Hampshire, and in their diaries they would record things like, tonight it did freeze under my bed, which was the polite way of saying that my chamber pot was frozen in the morning.
So they need central heating.
No central heating, of course, in those days. And they would record the arrival of spring from the pitter-patter of tiny feet, and this was as birds that had been frozen to branches all winter dropped to the ground.
I tell you what, that saves going out and hunting for your dinner.
Well, that's right. Deep frozen. Yes, indeed.
Okay, so we've done the Little Ice Age.
Mm-hmm.
The vineyards have shrunk back to the southeast corner.
That's right.
And now...
Then the Industrial Revolution starts in the middle of the 19th century. And funnily enough, so does viticulture. And one of the earliest vineyards was in the South Wales. The Marquis of Bute planted many acres of vineyards just outside Cardiff. and the humorous journal Punch, which was rather like Private Eye of the period, noted down it would take four people to drink this wine, the victim, two to hold him down, and the fourth to pour it down his throat. But since then, vineyards have gradually been re-established all over southern England. They've got down into Devon and Cornwall, where there were never vineyards before, all along the southern Wales, and they're now gradually advancing ever further northwards.
There's at least four now in Leeds area.
Yes, indeed.
So we're now here, you've got vineyards all the way up to Leeds, all the way in the south. What happens, do you think, if global warming continues and it gets warmer?
Well, that's an interesting question. With my research on this really began just to study the correlation between geology and viticulture. And then when I'd completed a database of all British vineyards, I realised that the data fell naturally into Roman period, medieval, Little Ice Age, modern. And so on a map I drew the northern limit of viticulture. And to my amazement, I could see that the vineyards were ebbing and flowing, advancing and retreating across the British Isles, correlative with temperature change. And from that geospasm, one could then take a step forward and predict where are the future vineyards going to be as global warming continues.
Where did you get to then?
Well, I mean, in simple terms, our children will be drinking Sheffield Shiraz and Manchester Merlot, and our grandchildren will be drinking Glasgow Gewurztraminer. We could take it step by step along the Carboniferous limestone of the Peak District in Derbyshire, then up to the southern slopes of the Lake District, especially where you've got lake water at the foot of the slope, giving it the enhanced reflection, and then up to Scotland. And as I said earlier on, of course, it's the north shore of Loch Ness that is my most favoured location for a vineyard by the end of the century.
Fantastic. Do you know of any other regions in the world that you think will be affected by this?
Oh, yes, indeed. It's happening already. In fact, after I published The Winelands of Britain, I had correspondents from Germany pointing out that in Germany you could demonstrate that same retreat of vineyards from medieval vineyards right up in northern Germany and then shrinking back to the south. There are now vineyards in Denmark, and one shouldn't giggle at this, but even in Norway.
Excellent.
And the same thing is happening in western Canada, where in the Californian vineyards are advancing northwards up into Oregon and Vancouver and places like that.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Thanks very much, Richard. That's been brilliant.